Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry.
And I'm Adora Udoji. Much of what scientists know about how memory works is thanks to one man known only as HM. And John, you said it is an extraordinary story.
Well, he's the window biologist found on the brain that helped us to understand memory. HM is an amazing story. That is true.
He underwent an experimental surgery in the 1950s to cure his epilepsy. Parts of his brain were removed, and he lost his short-term memory. And until his death earlier this week, HM helped neuroscientists study how memory works. Joining us to explain more is Benedict Carey, human behavior and psychology reporter at the New York Times. Good morning, Benedict.
Good morning.
So explain to us how HM became so critical to the knowledge of scientists of our memory.
Well, as you said, he had this surgery and back in the 1950s, they didn't understand so well what different regions of the brain, how they functioned. And so there was some uncertainty about what the outcome would be. He did have seizures, and they were severe. And so the neurosurgeon took a chance and took out a couple of areas in the brain that include a region called the hippocampus that often help epileptic patients when they're removed, at least when one is removed.
Mm-hmm. And what did they discover after they did that?
Well, they discovered that the patient, the seizures were gone or abated anyway, but the man, whose name is Henry Mollison, couldn't form new memories. That is, he did have short-term memory. He could hold a thought in his head for 20 seconds, perhaps longer if he concentrated.
20 seconds.
Several minutes.
20
yeah, that's
seconds.
Short-term memory. He had that. What he didn't have was the ability to convert that memory into a long-term one. And so the significance of that was that it showed scientists the region, the areas that are important for turning short-term memories into lasting long-term ones.
Let's listen to him being interviewed about this very issue of remembering what he had done even in a single day.
What do you do during a typical day?
See, that's what I don't remember things.
Uh-huh. Do you know what you did yesterday?
No, I don't.
How about this morning?
I don't even remember that.
As you said, Benedict, he couldn't convert those memories into long-term memory. What have scientists been able to do with the information that they learned from him?
Well, a couple things. One is the thing I just mentioned. It told them that these areas that were removed were critical for converting short-term to long-term memory. The other big thing was, the study of HM showed that there were at least two independent memory systems. One is the one we all think of as memory, that is converting short-term to long-term memory. That I remember your name, we remember mine, we remember what we had for breakfast. The other is called motor learning, which is what happens when we practice piano or ride a bike. And that's mostly subconscious or unconscious. We're not tracking it in the same way that we do or recording it in the same way we do when we're remembering words or names.
Ben I just remembered we have to go.
Okay.
I just remember we got to go. Thanks so much.
No problem.
Benedict Carey is a reporter for the New York Times, and he has a story about HM in the New York Times today.